Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You better you bet on radio.com and the radio.com app.
All right, you better you bet radio.com sports football Monday time for the rapid fire recap as we break down the Sunday that was in the National Football League. Tyler and Bill, please lay down that dope-ass NFL Films knockoff.
Did you suffer any bad?
Oh yeah, we don't do the NFL films. I fucked that up.
Did your favorite team lose?
No! I always forget about this.
No!
Nick and Ken will go through everything in this week's rapid fire recap.
I'm running low on note paper. So, like, there are, like, three notepads or notebooks that all have, like, a little space left. So, like, all my shit is spread out today. So, I had to, like, search to find, like, which notebook I have. I need to take a trip to Rite Aid is basically the long and short of this. All right, Ken Barkley, time for the rapid fire recap in week 11. And as always, we start with the game that we saw last, unless it was last week when we didn't. But we are back to it this week with the Kansas City Chiefs beating the Raiders in Las Vegas in what was a magnificent football game. Let me do my best, John Gruden. That was a great football game, man. Bad John Gruden impersonation. Great football game. Chiefs beat the Raiders 35-31. Raiders cover the spread. Game goes over. But the Kansas City Chiefs, the most important thing, cover their part of the Super Bowl one teaser leg. So Chiefs beat the Raiders 35-31. More late game brilliance from the great Patrick Mahomes.
Great protection again. Mahomes to the end zone. Wide open. Touchdown, Kelsey.
Man. Absolutely love it. Ken Barkley, Chiefs beat the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the most watchable games we've probably had. I mean, if you like offense and like these were just long time consuming drives that all ended in touchdowns, basically. I mean, this was a great game to just consume at the end of a pretty gross Sunday of football. This was not that from an offensive standpoint. So it was fun to see two teams just kind of move the ball a lot in the game, box score wise. Look, I mean, teams finish even in turnovers. Vegas wins yards per play by, like, the tiniest possible margin. A couple things stood out to me here. One, based on, again, that last touchdown. There's a lot of things about that touchdown to kind of unpack. Kelsey being wide open. The Chiefs offensive line, like, putting the Raiders defensive line in, like, a box, basically, that was, like, incredible to just watch the replays of, where Mahomes literally had, like, the whole field to just run around in and throw to whoever he wanted to. The two things that stand out are just the extent to which we almost were positive, at least I was, and talking to other people, that Mahomes was going to score on the last possession, which is like not a spot where you would necessarily think that about any other quarterback.
Ken, we're at least like, going overtime 100 times out of 100 there, if not the Chiefs winning the game outright
unless it's
in regulation.
Like, I mean, even Russell Wilson, like, they probably get conservative and kick because it's Pete Carroll at some point. But, like, with Mahomes, just like, no, they're going to score a touchdown. Like, they're just going to score a touchdown. Like, that amount of certitude, you and I, you know, have said for several weeks he's going to win the MVP. I may have even placed a couple bets a couple weeks ago that following that conversation that we had at some low prices. Like, look, that's how, I mean, every other quarterback, every other team in that spot, it's like, fuck, can they get a field goal attempt out of this? Like, that'd be amazing. And with Mahomes, it was like, oh, no, they're just going to go score a touchdown. Other things that stood out, two other things. One, Derek Carr played awesome. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. But the last thing is just, and this was early, so maybe people don't remember it. Maybe people don't think it's a big deal.
Gruden has third.
He's got third and goal at the one, tied at 14. So, like, it's first of all, you have a lot of information to work with. You know how Chiefs games go if you're John Gruden. You also know that this game has gone exactly how you thought the game was going to go, meaning touchdowns and not settling should be a good idea. It's already 14 apiece. It's in the first half. You have third and goal at the one. And again, not all of this is coaching. Some of it is, like, I don't know if it's bad luck, but you could also blame the penalties on coaching, too. He's got third and goal at the one, and he throws a fade. Then there's a penalty on fourth down, so they can't go for it anyway. So it's like he doesn't really have the choice, necessarily, but just to botch that drive.
He sent out the field goal unit before. He was kicking the field goal.
I know.
Goal
he was
no going to
kick
what.
Anyway. He was going to kick anyway.
On like, fourth and goal from the one against the Chiefs.
Right. Like, he was going to, I think he was going to kick anyway. Maybe they would have called a timeout and somebody would have gotten in his ear. But, like, I think the fade on third and goal at the one's, like, worse. If you're, especially, like, forget the kicking's the worst thing ever. If you're going to kick, like, what? We're going to throw a fade? Like, I fucking hate it. I hate everything
about it.
Your
offensive line's awesome. Run it with Josh Jacobs. You spent the first round pick on him. Run the ball.
Run the ball. Not only because your offensive line's awesome, you literally, like, the game has told you what it's going to be. The Chiefs, by the way, went for it twice on fourth down, got it both times. Settled for zero field goals in the game. there's just, like, again, like, you got to know things at some point about how a game is going to go. Like, this isn't a snow game against the fucking, you know, Giants or something where it's like, well, we got to get this three because we might not get down here a lot. No, you're going to get down there every time. And so are they. So, like, maybe don't on third and goal at the one throw a fade and then in the back of your head be like, I'm going to settle for three. So, again, an early drive, people probably maybe they remember it. Maybe they don't. It was also the drive where Derek Carr had the James Harden audible, which is why it was amazing to me that it was like, James Harden is an audible that gets you a lot of yardage, but ultimately leads to nothing. And on that drive, they settle for 3 points. So just that drive immediately stood out to me at the end of the game as like a really something that decided the outcome.
Yeah, and the final margin of the game, 4. Chiefs score 5 touchdowns. The Raiders only score 4 along with the field goal, literally, and butterfly effect and all that. But obviously, you want to go for touchdowns when you play the Chiefs. And John Gruden just can't kick that habit, man. Gets conserved. No risk it, no biscuit. John Gruden not hungry, apparently, in these games against the Kansas City Chiefs. Mahomes' brilliance is just, you know, we said a couple weeks ago he's going to win MVP. He's now the betting favorite, minus 120, over at Bet Rivers. I want to give a shout-out to Travis
Kelce.
That's
a good bet, by the way. Isn't that a good bet?
I think it's, yeah. Yes, he's winning MVP.
What's minus 120? Like 55%, basically? He has to win more often than that for that to be a good bet? How is he not like 70% to win right now or more?
I agree. Travis Kelce, 8 for 127 and 1. In my opinion, he's the MVP of fantasy football this year, given the scarcity position-wise at tight end. Just, I bet he's over every week, and he literally goes over every week. He's unstoppable. He's incredible. Darren Waller was also great in this game, making up for the drop touchdown against the Broncos a week ago by going over his receiving prop for us, so we appreciate that. Carr was awesome. Too many drops, though, by this Raiders team. I think they're probably a year away. Like, if you, like, you're throwing, like, important passes to Bryan Edwards, who I think has a chance to be good, and Nelson Aguilar's dropping passes, even though he had a couple nice catches in this game as well, had a couple drops. Alec Ingold, like, the fullback's dropping passes left and right here. I mean, not good. And, like, they don't throw it to Henry Ruggs. The Raiders are going to need progression from these young pass catchers if they're going to contend both this year and next year in the AFC West along with the Kansas City Chiefs. Raiders' offensive line was excellent yesterday. I think the Raiders are a good team. The record reflects
they're
it at 6-4.
They're gonna be a fun playoff
they're fun.
Team.
Like we, really we I want the Raiders get like fucking get the Dolphins out at this point. Give me the Raiders in the postseason. Raiders on Sunday, a 3-point favorite on the road in Atlanta, total of 56. The Chiefs visiting Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We go to Baltimore, where for, you know, it's becoming a broken record at this point for the Ravens. Derrick Henry dump trucks them yet again.
Henry gets the carry running left. Henry to the 25, Henry to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5.
Yes! Oh, yes! 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 Touchdown, Titans! As the Titans will run out of Baltimore with a shocker in OT.
Oh, yes! Did I say yes?
Oh, yes. Yes. That was awesome. I love that call on the
Titans
radio.
That's a long
time
radio guy, too, because that's the guy who called.
Jim Donovan.
That's the guy who called Rams Titans Super Bowl, I think, because he's like, he came up 1 yard short. Like, that's a really famous call in history. I think that was him.
I think his name's Jim Dye. I could be wrong about that. Titans beat the Ravens. Mike Keith on the Titans radio network? That sounds about right. Titans beat the Ravens 30-24 in overtime. Game goes over the total. Thank you very much. Had the over. So Titans beat Baltimore. I think this game, Ken, not sure if you agree or disagree, was a lot more about the Baltimore Ravens than it was the Tennessee Titans. How do you kind of unpack this here? Because I have a couple notes that I want to get to as well.
Sure. I mean, on a play-for-play level, Tennessee outplayed Baltimore for very large portions of the game. 1 yards per play by more than a yard, 1.3. One thing you see in college football all the time, but rarely see in the NFL, pregame fights all of the video of the field stomp and meeting. I watched that like five times. I couldn't have enjoyed it more. Like just the Titans, like it was literally like the Rick James, like, I'm not going to put my feet on your couch. I'm putting my feet on your couch. Like as you're staring at them from across the field, talking shit. It was just incredible. So like Jeffrey Simmons is in there just like kicking up dirt. Harbaugh comes out first and like starts. It was just the whole thing was fantastic. So just really appreciated that. Let's have more of that, actually. Sportsmanship overrated. So anyway, the Titans win yards per play by a lot. The thing that stands out, actually, the Titans are known for their red zone prowess. And I think about Baltimore the same way with that rushing attack and with Lamar Jackson running the ball, especially. Like these are two teams that should be excellent in the red zone. They were combined 3 for 9 in the red zone in this game. Both teams were atrocious. Baltimore was settling early in the game, kicked field goals when they were at the 12-yard line and the 9-yard line. That allowed Tennessee to build a lead. Then Tennessee late kicked field goals from the 22 and the 4. So it's just like, again, something that each team is kind of known for, especially Tennessee. Like if Tennessee has their usual red zone production in this game, they like smoke Baltimore in this game, actually. So it was almost like they let them hang around by doing something they don't normally do. And I think Baltimore was going to kind of play like that because of all their injuries. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then just two, what I consider not maybe not like turning point for Tennessee season kind of drives, but like really like a big part of like building a kind of like an identity of your team. They go 12 plays, 91 yards. 10 plays 90 yards on Baltimore.
Those impressive drives, man.
Two drives to start the fourth quarter. Like, to me, that's the kind of thing where it's like, you got smoked by Indianapolis, like, you know, maybe not in the box score, but like really dominated in the second half of that game, maybe lose the division. And like those two drives was kind of like, you know, because early on you're like, is Baltimore going to roll them a little bit in the first quarter? And to settle down and have those two drives to really put away a team like this, I actually thought that was really impressive.
I think the Ravens are fucked. Just like maybe they still get into the play. Season ended today. The Ravens are not a playoff team, which is crazy.
Right. It might be like the good bad team. Like they're like the team that's like they're gonna play everybody tough, but like they just have too many injuries.
I think they're the bad good team.
Okay. Oh, true. Hairs. They could also be the bad good team, right? If we're flipping adjectives, that's true.
I think they're the bad good team. Now, when they get Calais Campbell back and they get Brandon Williams back, the run defense is obviously going to be better. The defense will have some of its nasty identity. This team is royally fucked with a capital F on offense, though. Without Boyle, without Ronnie Stanley, without Phillips, the physicality's not there. Like, when Dez Bryant, and this is not even an anti-Dez Bryant thing, but when Dez Bryant has 4 more catches than Hollywood Brown, you can't win. Like, they've got no size in this receiver. This is a faulty built football team. Like, the house of cards has come crumbling down with the offensive line injuries and with Nick Boyle hurt. So they can't do what they want to do with the run game. By the way, enough fucking Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards. Give the ball to fucking J.K. Dobbins. Next sentence, you know, Ingram and Dobbins test positive for COVID-19. It's going to be the Gus bus on Thursday night against the Steelers. Good luck with that. Gus and Mark, 5 carries for 8 yards. Dobbins, 15 for 70. Like, anyone with half a brain can see that Dobbins is the best running back. So why are we wasting carries on Mark Ingram? And then, like, this team's just easy to defend. Lamar has said, like, defenses know what we're doing. It's the same fucking offense that they ran last year. There's no new wrinkles to it. And they don't have that tall receiver that Lamar can just chuck the ball up to. Like, Mark Andrews is okay, great. But, like, Hollywood Brown sucks. I'm done fucking betting his overs. I'm convinced he's a slap at this point. Like, Willie Snead, really? Yeah. Like, Dez Bryant's getting 4 catches a game? Like, I don't even think it's Lamar's fault. I think this offense is poorly run. I think the play calling is poor. I think the bloom is off the Greg Roman rose. And I don't think they can do what they want to do on offense here. I think this team is fucked with a capital F. Maybe they get into the playoffs. This team ain't winning shit this year. No way, no how. The injuries can, I think, make it impossible for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, again, like they're going to be lucky to make the playoffs at this point. They have the Steelers on Thursday night, and you know, Dobbins and Mark Ingram are now on the COVID list. So it's like also Brandon Williams was added to the COVID list too. Not sure he was going to return this week, but like you can't win games when like make a list of your 15 most impactful players. Okay, half of them are out. Like, again, it's just, at some point it adds up. Now maybe an individual running back, even like a position group, and you could kind of get by. But like it just this and San Francisco. These are your two. You know, kind of like we always talk about the, you know, last year to this year, one this year to next year when we get to that discussion point. Like, who are we always know some elite teams end up falling, and usually it's not their fault. San Francisco had a billion injuries. Baltimore had a billion injuries.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If Baltimore can't get it going against this Tennessee defense with no Adoree Jackson, Clowney on IR, I mean, I don't know, man. Shout out to Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. You know what we call them? Grown-ass men. A.J. Brown carrying like four Ravens into the end. That was awe-inspiring. And then Henry, of course, is 36 yards entering the fourth quarter. That's why you can't bet Derrick Henry under yards, because he just chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga. The train gets rolling, and there ain't no stopping it when he gets rolling, man. Impressive win for the Titans. I thought Mike Vrabel outcoached John Harbaugh. Tennessee beats the Ravens 30-24. Ravens at the Steelers on Thursday night, game off the board with the COVID concerns in Baltimore that extend obviously past the running back. So hopefully this game will still be played. I mean, it's the NFL. I mean, they played the Niners-Packers game. I'm sure they're going to play this game. And the Titans in a rematch from a couple weeks ago against the Colts in Indy, a 3.5-point dog. Total 50.5. Speaking of the Indianapolis Colts, what a win for them yesterday. They take down the Packers in overtime, 34-31.
Here's a snap, ball's down, kick is on the way, and it's through, it went in, and the Colts win it, a walk-off winner for Rodrigo Blankenship. The Colts win 34-31 in overtime.
First thing I want to say here, Ken, the under was not our best combined work in this game. Nope. 65 points scored.
What do you think, what was worse, the under or Jacksonville? What do you think my worst bet was?
The under. The under.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually don't think Jacksonville was a terrible bet, and we'll talk about that when we get to that game.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't the best bet. Let's put it that way. The box score from this is pretty interesting. I mean, look, like, there's a lot of season-long implications that kind of come into this. First of all, one of the reasons why I kind of like freaked out that Mahomes' price was that short for MVP is Aaron Rodgers lost again. So, like, you're telling me it's like literally like Wilson and Mahomes now, basically, and Mahomes isn't going to lose again the rest of the season. Okay. Anyway, we'll get to maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later this week. Rodgers takes an L in this game. You're not going to win against a playoff team when you turn the ball over four times. Like, it's incredibly straightforward. Like, they had four turnovers. Indianapolis had two. Therefore, Indianapolis wins the game. Now, there's a lot of other things that happened that are interesting. But, like, the core of the final score and why it was what it was is that Green Bay turned the fucking ball over too much. And they're not going to win if they do that. They won yards per play by 0.7 in the game. Indy was terrible in the red zone again. 2-for-4. Like, welcome to the – I mean, you know, we have those, like, NFL films yearbooks where it's like, you know, the long road back, the story of the 2020 New York Jets. It's going to be like, you know, here comes Blankenship on the field. The story of the 2020 Indianapolis Colts, 2-for-4 in the red zone, you know, kept the Packers around. But again, too many turnovers. Jonathan Taylor competent for the first time, which is kind of interesting since we shit on him literally every week on this show.
Yeah, it's so, more, I would say more Packers defensive ineptitude. But
sure,
yes, right,
of course you would. Of course you would. I mean, you know, like, Taylor runs for 200 yards and be like, should have been 250. He missed a couple holes. Jonathan Taylor competent, but I, you know, obviously I want your thoughts on the game too, but just curious, the Packers also had an interesting decision in this game. 4th and 1 at the 34, instead of kicking, they go for it very late in the fourth quarter. Now they end up getting the ball back. They end up kicking anyway and going to overtime, but just kind of curious to your thoughts on that decision as well as everything else going on here in Green Bay and Indianapolis.
I thought LaFleur and Reich like took turns pissing on themselves down the stretch of this game. Like the drive, the Colts drive that lasted like a minute of game time and about 4 hours of real time with like 150 holding penalties and like fourth downs. And like, I don't know what I watched. I'm pretty sure like my IQ dropped a few points watching it though. Like, I don't know what the fuck happened at the end of this game. Like, there was,
I didn't even
so
mention
much
the holding
happening.
Penalties. Didn't even mention the holding penalties. Sorry about that. Yeah, I didn't even mention
the Colts had 9 holding penalties in this game. Not all were good. 9 hold. And it seemed like they all happened on one drive. Like, this was like,
the
star of this game was 30. The referees. The referees won this game. It wasn't actually the Colts that won the game. The referees won this game. Like, a disgracefully officiated game. But I want to give Frank Reich credit. Because clearly at halftime, Reich and Eberflus made the adjustments because they were getting their asses whooped in the first half and then came out in the second half. Now the turnovers play into that. The MVS fumble, of course, in overtime plays into it. But they don't get to overtime without MVS making that catch at the end of the game. So, you know, my big takeaway of this game is honestly, like, nothing that the Colts did offensively to the Packers really surprised me. My big takeaway from this game, and you actually said it last weekend, the Green Bay offense, when there's not wins and everybody's healthy, fucking stomps everybody.
Yep.
That's a good Colts defense that they put up 30-plus points on yesterday.
And turn the ball
That's
over
That's my
four
big
times.
Takeaway from this game.
Still scored 31.
And
like,
but what a, and exactly. I actually came out of that game, I feel better about the Packers than I do about the Colts. Because the Colts defense got holes poked in them legitimately for the first time this season, and the Packers offense showed you they could fucking score on anybody. If you go into Indy and you drop 30 on that defense, I think I actually feel better about Green Bay after a loss than I do about Indy after a win.
Yeah, I mean, 40% of their drives ended at turnovers. They scored 31 points. That's incredibly difficult to do. I mean, again, mentioning turnover so much? Right. Everybody's like, why are you mentioning turnover so much? There's literally no more statistics that's more predictive of who's going to win and lose a football game. There's no other statistic by a mile that is more predictive. Passing yards, no. Like, fucking touchdowns, almost no. A turnover is like a touchdown. So again, for the Packers to have that lack of success and still score that much is incredibly impressive. And for the Colts, like, I mean, this is a great win for the Colts, honestly, because I wasn't sure. Again, even winning turnovers, I wasn't sure they had this win in them necessarily. They had the punt stuff happen against Tennessee on Thursday night in a game that was maybe a little closer than the final score indicated. So, I mean, a great win, but it's like the Colts keep doing the same things that annoy the shit out of me, which is just like when they get handed the game, they sometimes still struggle to put the team away. So it's just like, and like the running game, like how much can we actually count on what's happening? Like, it's just to me that the things I don't like about the Colts are all still around, and they had a great win. And the things I like about the Packers, I like a little bit more. So I do kind of agree with you. You know, it's not like a who gets more blame and who gets more credit thing. But yeah, for Green Bay to score 31 and have 4 turnovers, it's just like, oh, right. They are the fucking best offense besides the Chiefs. Like, Green Bay, Kansas City Super Bowl also would not be the worst thing in the world.
That's Super Bowl 1. Next sentence. Can't wait to lay the points with the Packers against the Bears coming up on Sunday Night Football. Or maybe not. We'll talk about that game. Green Bay 7.5 against Nick Foles and the Bears. Or maybe it'll be Mitch. Who knows? And the Colts 3.5 point favorites against the Tennessee Titans. Total of 50.5. Now we get to the most annoying game of the day for people that bet on the Philadelphia Eagles, like us, as the Browns beat the Eagles 22-17. And Doug Peterson seemingly staring down the barrel of inevitable and saying, much like Jagan Hagar would say in Game of Thrones, to death. Or maybe it was Cereal Pharrell, the water dancer. Not today.
Look, I think if you get to that spot, whether you don't start him or you bench, I think you're sending a wrong message to your football team that the season's over, and that's a bad message.
Yeah, good thing there's just so much wrong with all of this, and I feel like we don't have the time. Like, this is like a 20-minute segment in and of itself. Like, why that's fucking dumb. It doesn't matter. Here's the bottom line. Carson Wentz fucking sucks. Browns beat the Eagles 22-17. Game goes under the total. I mean, there are Wentz apologists out there, and I know the Eagles' offensive line isn't good. This dude's got no awareness whatsoever. Takes 5 sacks. Many of them he's holding the ball fucking forever. 2 horrendous interceptions and could have been a third, including a pick 6 that looked like it was like a Madden glitch. Like, you pressed the wrong button trying to throw it to a receiver. Like, how did they not cover this game? Yeah. How did they not cover?
We know how they didn't cover. I mean, honestly, if they're going to get that touchdown at the end of the game, then the fucking pick in the red zone right before that which I thought cost us our teases with Philly. And like, I had teases everywhere, Carolina, Houston, all these games. I didn't get the three that I wanted. I was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to tease it up then, because I like this side. And Philly was one of those two, never got the 3.5. Might as well just tease them up. Thank God they scored at the end of that game. I think the biggest thing with Wentz I look at is like, they have success running the ball a lot. Like, Sanders wasn't amazing in this game, but he was like, I mean, again, this is like the third. Can Cleveland get out of these fucking weather games? Like, thank God that the Cleveland's not going to be one of these games again next week. I believe they're at Jacksonville, and we don't have to deal with these anymore. By the way, all three of these Cleveland weather games went under the total. I think Mayfield went under his passing yards in all three games. Just thought that was interesting. This sort of like mini month of Cleveland weather games, but with Wentz, like, it's like,
dude,
I feel like
Miles
they have some success.
Miles is dominating on the first drive, and then they just right. go away from him after the fumble. They stop running the ball.
It's bizarre. That's what I was going to say. It's like, it's not like, because I wanted to not say he was dominating, because like, you can't dominate if they're not going to use you that much. But like, he's running it pretty well. And this happened last week. Was the Giants game last week or was it 2 weeks ago? I honestly don't remember. But against the Giants, you know, again, having some success running the ball, the team was. And it's like, you just look at third down conversions where it's like, and these are like third and manageable. Now, sometimes he's taking sacks, which he shouldn't be taking. But like, you're in third and manageable. They had no third down conversions the other week. They were 2 for 12 in this game. Like, this is entirely like, Wentz just has to make some plays to extend drives. Just some plays. Like, you're not going to get explosive running plays against a lot of good teams. So like, the quarterback has to do something. And when anything was required, nothing was given. So like, again, if you want to say, well, it was pouring rain, okay, but we have a lot of evidence that when the weather is not that terrible, that he's also doing this. So yeah, I mean, I agree with you on the Wentz stuff. It's pretty miserable. For Cleveland, like, look, they win yards per play narrowly. They win turnovers because they're playing against Carson Wentz. It was the only points of the first half was that bizarre pop-up in the air that's returned for a touchdown. So, like, I mean, good job, Cleveland. And, I mean, good job beating Houston last week in these kind of rugby games that have broken out in Cleveland as a result of the weather. But I feel like in the next few games, finally, maybe we'll learn something about Cleveland. They play Jacksonville. I don't even know if that's going to be the case. But, you know, Cleveland could end up being a team that gets into the playoffs where maybe we don't even think they're that good because they got these weather games and they also got this game against Jacksonville next week. So I don't know if I even learned anything about Cleveland, but I'm with you on Philly, and I think it starts with those third down numbers.
Like Doug can't help himself, man. And how about this? And I don't want this to be a long discussion. If you switch the two head coaches yesterday, Stefanski coaches the Eagles, Doug coaches the Browns, who wins?
Probably the Browns, or probably the Eagles with Stefanski, but like, yeah, I mean, he's not going to go away from Sanders in a game where it's monsooning. Let's put it that way.
Browns, a touchdown favorite on the road to Jacksonville next week, total 48.5. And the Eagles, you know, coming off a couple bad performances in a row.
Taking money
again. Guess who's coming to town? Russell Wilson and the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. Seattle, a 5-point favorite in that game, total of 51. And as a Giants fan, let me be the first to say, go Seahawks. We move on while staying here, not staying in the end. Anyway, I fucked up the transition here. Anyway, let's just go to Minnesota, where the Cowboys and the Vikings played an extremely entertaining game, Ken, that actually went exactly like you and I thought it would. Well, maybe not, ending with Dalton to Dalton.
Lamb went in motion. Dalton looking in, so he throws. Touchdown. Wide open is the tight end, Dalton Schultz. The Cowboys take the lead.
I don't know what, you know, Cowboys beat the Vikings 31-28. Dallas wins the game outright. Game goes over the total. I don't know that we could cap a game more perfectly than we did this one. Like, kudos. Shout out to us.
I love Dallas. I thought them winning the game was much more likely because this was a very tough game to rate, and it tended to favor Dallas in the way the number was in the market. A team that was just tough to make a rating on. You know, I don't know if their defense necessarily showed up like it had a couple weeks prior to this. I mean, Thielen, like, by the way, Thielen got put on the COVID list about 20 minutes ago, too, by the way. But in this game, he was excellent. Literally caught everything thrown to him. Not every offensive player. Basically, a lot of guys went over their yardage props. Again, finally a game played in perfect conditions where we could take advantage of, again, we playing the Cowboys, could take advantage of the Minnesota defense. They played a weather game against Green Bay, and they played against Nick Foles. That was tended to mask the fact that, oh, right, the defense actually is not very good. So, again, when there's not weather involved, I really think the Vikings look like an over team in a lot of situations. Dallas was able to run the ball very effectively in this game, which obviously matters a lot to them with Elliott and Pollard, who had a long touchdown, who was outstanding, you know, even just presenting that kind of explosive play element.
I thought it was Zeke's best game of the year.
I mean, I think both guys did what you wanted both guys to do, right? Which is like you want Zeke to be the bell cow and you want Pollard to have those explosive plays. They had 31 for 180 on the ground. Pollard had a long touchdown. You literally couldn't have drawn it up any better than that. So, you know, Dallas wins turnovers. Minnesota wins yards per play. Basically a back and forth game. But I think, you know, one thing that's very interesting and probably today, later this week on the show or next week when we start to have, I think, a more in-depth NFC East discussion from a betting standpoint, the only division that's worth discussing, the only division that's worth betting because all four teams have a chance. Like, Dallas presents some interesting options here, winning as a touchdown dog and, like, not winning flukily, like showing you kind of a pathway that they can be successful, maybe not against the elite teams, but against a lot of kind of league average opposition.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I want to give Mike McCarthy a little credit since we destroyed him all season. Moving Zach Martin to right tackle was an inspired decision for this week, at least. Martin was fantastic taking over from guard to tackle, helped to stabilize the Cowboys' offensive line. And look, this, like you said, I don't know if there's much to say here. Like, the Vikings' defense was never good, was masked the last couple weeks. We explained to you why in great detail last week. And it's not that the Cowboys are great, but this was a good matchup for them here. And Dallas is very much alive in the NFC East, as is every team in the division. Cowboys, a 2.5-point favorite against the football team coming up on Thanksgiving in a game that could decide the NFC East, as crazy as that sounds. And the Vikings will welcome in Teddy Bridgewater and the Carolina Panthers.